Good morning. I hope those at the back can actually hear me, can you? That's good. My name is Raymond Fox. I'm standing in for your rector, Robert, this morning. And we're going to begin by singing hymn number 484, verses 1 and 2, 7 and 8. Lift high the cross. Service this morning is Holy Communion, and you'll find the service on page 201 in the prayer book. I'd also, if possible, ask you to mark page 222, where you'll find the Ten Commandments. Page 222. The Lord be with you. The sentence for Passion Sunday from 1 Peter. Christ himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. We join together in the Collect for Purity. Almighty God. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. And turning over to page 222. And when I say the commandment, if you would join with me in the New Testament response. Hear these commandments which God has given to his people, and take them to heart. I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods but me. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. You shall not make for yourself any idol. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. You shall not dishonor the name of the Lord your God. You shall worship him with reverence and awe. Remember the Lord's day and keep it holy. Christ is risen from the dead. Let your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. And together, Lord, have mercy on us, and write these your laws in our hearts. Honor your father and mother. Live as servants of God. Honor all people. Love your brothers and sisters in Christ. You shall not commit murder. Be reconciled to your brother and sister. Overcome evil with good. You shall not commit adultery. Know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. You shall not steal. Be honest in all that you do and care for those in need. You shall not be a false witness. You shall not covet anything which belongs to your neighbor. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Love your neighbor as yourself, for love is the fulfilling of the law. And together, Lord, have mercy on us, and write all these your laws in our hearts. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to intercede for us in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us then confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace. Please be seated. Just keep a moment of quietness as we remember the gift of Good Friday and the gift that comes from that of forgiveness of sins. We join together, Almighty God. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may walk in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. And the collect for today, for Passion Sunday. Most merciful God, who by the death and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, delivered and saved the world, grant that by faith in him who suffered on the cross, we may triumph in the power of his victory. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Now we have the Old Testament reading.
The Old Testament reading is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, Chapter 43, beginning at verse 16. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings out chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise. They are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things, or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild animals will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, so that they might declare my praise. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistles from the letter of St. Paul to the Philippians, chapter 3, beginning at verse 4. Even though I too have reason for confidence in the flesh, if anyone else has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under law, blameless. Yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death. If somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on towards the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The gradual hymn is 244, There is a Green Hill Far Away. And standing for the Gospel. The Holy Gospel is written in the Gospel according to St. John in the 12th chapter, beginning to read from the first verse. Six days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, because he was a thief. He kept a common purse and used to steal what was put in it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." This is the gospel of the Lord. Lord, help us to hear your word, to receive it, and to do it. In Jesus' name, amen. On the face of it, I'm not a very passionate person. I haven't got that sort of personality. But today is called Passion Sunday. It's a day of sense and sensibility, and the question of how committed we actually are to Jesus, the Jesus of Nazareth, the Jesus who was the Christ, the Jesus who says, "Come, follow me." This year is the 1700th anniversary of the writing or the agreement of the Nicene Creed, we're just about to say in a few minutes. In a sense, it was an official document. But in the document, it actually declares that Jesus was both man and God, human and divine. And it's that person who was in front of Mary on that occasion. And we hear this morning what happened. It happened in Bethany. And the name Bethany, as I understand it, means the place of the poor. And in our Bible passage, Jesus on that day in Bethany was anointed with expensive perfume, an action which might be considered totally unsuitable if we're right in understanding that the name of the place was the place of the poor. Jesus had come to Bethany, the home of his friend Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. This house should have been a house filled with mourning and sorrow. Instead, it is the center of attention as the dead man and his Savior gather to eat. The people around would clearly want to see this Lazarus who'd been raised after 4 days. Bethany is a small village, only a couple of miles from Jerusalem. And at that time of year, there would have been a build-up towards the Passover. The place would have been crowded with pilgrims who would have come to celebrate the Passover in Jerusalem. People would also have wanted, perhaps, to be closer to this Jesus who seemed to have this extraordinary power over death. They would have wondered what he could do for them also. And on this Passion Sunday, perhaps it's a question for us. What might we wonder Jesus can do for us? So picture the scene. Jesus is with Mary and Martha and Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. Mary, the same Mary who had sat at the feet of Jesus as her sister Martha had been distracted with much serving, is once again the center stage. Once again, Martha is serving. Once again, Mary is wrapped in the love and devotion for the person in front of her. And as we have heard, Mary springs to action in one spontaneous, we might call it reckless, and some would say wasteful gesture of extravagance. She anoints the feet of Jesus with expensive perfume and wipes them with her hair. Been described by one of the writers as a very sensual, a very intimate, and a very shocking scene. For a woman to let down her hair in public in this way and behave towards this man, Jesus, with such physical intimacy must have aroused considerable attention, even scorn. To let down her hair and massage the feet of Jesus with perfume is quite a highly charged act in any culture. But at the time, 2,000 years ago, in that situation, it was positively outrageous. We can all imagine how the disciples must have wanted to have a go at Mary for being such a tramp and behaving in such a shameless fashion. Remember, this was no ordinary bottle of perfume, but one rather costing almost a year's salary. Can you imagine what you would have said had you witnessed a scene of such lavish adoration? Judas, Peter's old tool, of course, he complained about the apparent waste, claiming that the money could instead have been given to the poor. The biblical account tells us that Judas was not really concerned about the poor. They're told that he was a thief and helped himself to the money that the disciples shared with Jesus. This explanation, of course, discredits Judas. But let's face this situation of Judas in the room challenging Mary on the grounds of extravagance. What we know from other Gospels, Matthew's Gospel, that all the disciples dislike this waste of perfume. Matthew says, "When the disciples saw this, they were indignant. Why this waste?" they asked. In Mark's Gospel, too, he records that it was some who were there protested. So, not just Judas complaining. Truthfully, all of us might have been appalled at the extravagance, except Jesus. Everybody except Jesus. Jesus defends Mary. "Leave her alone. She is anointing me, making preparations for my death." Jesus knows how much Mary loves him, and he recognizes the goodness in this devotional act, this act of extravagant love. She loved Jesus, and she poured out her love like this priceless perfume, as if there was no tomorrow. Mary had much to be thankful to Jesus for. He had raised her brother, Lazarus, from the stinking tomb. How could she deny Jesus the best she had? What Mary did, we're saying, was provocative. But she herself was highly motivated. Her spontaneous act of loving gratitude could not be inhibited by social etiquette. Mary responds to the love and acceptance she found in Jesus. Her affection for Jesus is an example to us all. In the end, of course, it was not men who had their attitude towards the situation, but it was women who give us the example. For example, the few women who are left standing near Golgotha. They were the women who also ventured to the tomb. The unlikely ones in Mark and John's world, the women were to become the models. So on this Passion Sunday, as we think of this act by Mary, we understand that the early church considered this document, which included this particular story, as a subversive passage. It reflects so much of the experience of Jesus' ministry. Yes, other people around him were probably good people, maybe devout people, maybe busy people trying to be holy. But of course, in a sense, that misses the point. This action made by this woman speaks louder than 1,000 words. Mark even suggests that Jesus predicted how memorable her act would be. Extravagant, loving devotion. So let me sum up this. What this woman did was outstanding. She gave Jesus not just words or promises, but her love. She put this word, this sense of herself into direct action. She did not consider the cost, because her love was greater than financial considerations. We need so very much on this Passion Sunday to remember this lesson, which Jesus understood. He accepted the woman's generosity. So often, when we give to God, we have to be honest, and including myself, we do count the cost. We do measure the time. We do make sure that we're not going over the top. When we are responding to the love of God in Jesus the Christ, can we afford to be less than extravagantly generous? Amen. So we turn to page 205, where you'll find the Nicene Creed, this document which is a summary of our Christian faith. We stand. We believe. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, we give you thanks for your great love towards us. Your love revealed in your Son, Jesus, who on this Passion Sunday, we remember, died so that we might have new life. We pray that sharing in the fellowship of the suffering of our Lord, we may come to know the power of his resurrection. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear
our prayer. Lord, we give thanks for all who contemplate your passion, for all who teach others to meditate, for all who've shown us how to spend a moment in quietness before you. Lord, in the stillness of this place, on this day, refresh us. In the stillness of our minds, renew us. And in the quietness of our hearts, restore us. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we give thanks for those who work to provide for our needs. We pray for all who grow produce and prepare our food, for all who cater and all who provide hospitality for others, for all who work in shops and supermarkets, for the issues in our midst, the tariff situation which is confusing our world. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we are grateful for places of rest and peace. We thank you for our own homes, for all who we share our lives with. We pray this day for all who are overworked in their caring for others. We ask your blessing to all who share their time and their love with us in this past week. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we pray that through your cross and passion, we may come to know the power of your resurrection, that in our hearts, generosity may come to the surface, and that we give ourselves to the suffering world around us, for those who are despairing, for those who this day have a sense of hopelessness, for all who this day maybe are in a dark place. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we give thanks for all who have passed through pain and suffering, that are now where sorrow and pain are no more. For all who have experienced the power of your resurrection, especially those who have been known to us. Lord, in your mercy. And in a few moments, we offer our own thoughts and prayers to God, our Heavenly Father. And we sum up our prayers. Merciful Father, accept these our prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Preparation for the breaking of bread and the drinking of wine, we pray together the prayer of humble access. We do not presume. We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may and he in us. Amen. We stand for the peace. The introduction of peace on Passion Sunday from Ephesians. Now, in union with Christ Jesus, you who were far off have been brought near through the shedding of Christ's blood, for he is our peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
And be Offertory Hymn 418, Hear, O My Lord, I See Thee Face to Face. Service continues in the prayer book on page 208. Wise and gracious God, you spread a table before us. Nourish your people with the word of life and the bread of heaven. Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us celebrate the feast.
We turn over to page 216 for prayer 3. The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Father, Lord,
Lord Jesus Christ, Lord of Eber, on the night before you died, you came to Saviour Christ has taught us, so we pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The bread which we break is a sharing of the body of Christ.
We believe in any one of the body, for we all share in the one way.
Draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood which he shed for you. Remember that he died for you, and feel in him your hearts, by faith, with thanksgiving. Thank you. Draw you to himself, grant that you find in his cross a sure ground for faith, a firm support for hope, and the assurance of sins forgiven. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you this Passion Tide and always. Saturday, what's Easter Saturday, 9:30 AM, decoration of this
sense which I wasn't aware of. It didn't mean a thing to me. So can we maybe start again? T&B 145. Thank you.